you're going to use that opportunity to go and indoctrinate these kids with your street ghetto philosophy. Certain point. If you raise your level of income to the status of a rock star, then then you got to keep coming up with ways to maintain that status. I'm not even saying eat meat, but at least put some cereal in the milk. Come on. That's like taking 666, the mark of the beast, and redefining it like Biggie tried to do and saying, no, it means this or that. No, 666 is 666. You can call it holy 666, but it's still the mark of the beast. Convenient, whether it's welcome or unwelcome. You, as preachers of the word, are to show people in what way their lives are wrong.
We welcome you now to A True Church Perspective with Pastor G. Craig Lewis.
Blessings to all. This is G. Craig Lewis here again with another True Church Perspective. You can visit us on the web, true-church.org. You can make donations to our broadcast. You can listen to previous broadcasts for free. We don't charge you. We just ask that you continue to support our ministry so we can stay on the air. And you can get all that information, as well as visit us at exministries.com, where you can get information as well as purchase our DVDs, the different series that we have there. We're going to continue to deal this month with the churches of Asia that were dealt with in the book of Revelations. We dealt with the Laodicean church last month. And this month, we're going to focus more on the church at Pergamos, or pronounced Pergamos or Pergamos. We're going to deal with that particular church here. And we're going to just read starting in Revelations chapter 2. And we're going to move down to verse 12. The scripture tells us here, and to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges, I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. This is Jesus speaking, and he's telling the church at Pergamos, hey, I'm coming with a sharp sword with two edges. That means that's the word. We know earlier in the scriptures that the word is referred to as a two-edged sword. And we know that is a sword that cuts on both sides, very sharp. And this is Jesus setting this up by saying, I'm coming with a sharp word for you. And this lets us know that there are some very important things that Jesus is upset about in this particular passage. He says he knows the works, and he compliments them for holding fast to his name. But then the things he has against this particular church are what we're going to focus on right now. And he says two things here. There are those that hold to the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornications. Now let's deal with this, because we remember the story of Balaam and the talking donkey in the Old Testament. And this is why it's very important that we know Old Testament stories. It's very important to understand what was going on with Balaam. And it's a pretty long story, and we're not going to cover that whole Old Testament story here initially, but we will dig different parts of it up. But I want to deal with the doctrine of Balaam right now, and the two things that are mentioned mentioned here in the scripture, to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication. Now, understand, the eating things sacrificed unto idols is a verse that represents the merging or the mixing of false god doctrines. This is false doctrine mixed with true doctrine. And we have a lot of this going on in the body of Christ. And this thing upset God, because when you begin to mix doctrine, you distort the true doctrine. And when people don't know the true doctrine, then they act out of ignorance to what God really wants for them. And this is something that is very evident here in America. And I'm telling everyone now, we really need to pray for our country. Our nation has gone astray with the merging of the sacred and the profane. It's like the church and the world coming together. We've dealt with that with Laodicea, but even more in depth here at Pergamos, because they were actually taking false god doctrine and mixing this doctrine with the doctrine of the Bible. And I just want to start out by saying, I was watching, I think it was Nightline. I was getting phone calls and everybody was telling me that Carlton Pearson was on Nightline. And of course, they had a special where they dealt with, was there a devil? And they meant to, you know, of course, this is secular TV, and they meant to show that there is no devil. And it was unfairly actually represented. There was no Christian scholars that could deal with this from a theological standpoint. And that's what upset me about it. You had some lady who is the leader of Hookers for Jesus, which, you know, that reminds us of holy hip hop. You know, somebody who's a hooker for Christ, that's like a pimp for the Lord, a gospel gangster, a holy hoodlum. You know, I mean, the Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he is a what? A new creature. That means that if you were a hooker, now you're not a hooker anymore if you've come to Christ. So you can't be a hooker for Jesus. You are no longer a hooker. But this is the doctrine of Balaam, the same thing. By taking who you were and fusing that with Jesus Christ, even in the title, it shows a mix of the old and the new. Now, the Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are what? Passed away. If old things are passed away, you can't fuse the old with the new. The old is done away with. It's passed away. And the Bible says all things, that's everything, has become new. This is why we don't believe in the holy hip hop and the saved thug and the thug for Christ, thug bishop, and all this foolishness, you know, throwing up gang signs, grilling your teeth up, sagging, and all the stuff you used to do that represented lack of male leadership or authority. And now you've come to Christ. You don't bring those things with you. Old things are past away. Those things are gone. If you are really in Christ, and that's why I don't understand where this whole doctrine is coming from. And I hate it that a hooker for Jesus had to represent, you know, the true church argument that there is a devil. And then Mark Driscoll, of course, he was okay in this, but, you know, he was wearing a shirt with skulls all on him. And I'm like, okay, you're defending Christ, but you're wearing shirts that represent death. But this is, again, the doctrine of Balaam. This is the mixture of the secular gods, the false gods doctrine, with the doctrine of Christ. And we even see this now. We see this in current churches now. Last week I talked about Freemasonry and those that claim to be Christians and are part of secular organizations like Freemasonry or fraternities and sororities. This is the same thing as the doctrine of Balaam. This is the merge of other god religions or beliefs, and then you're infusing Christian ideas in it. So you want to say, well, I'm a Freemason and we do things for Christ. Yeah, but your doctrine encompasses all other religions, and this is that mixture. So Pergamos had this doctrine of Balaam, and it was condemned by Christ because it was a mixture. And God does not like a mixture, because if you mix the false god with the true god, then you no longer have the true god, but the true doctrine becomes false when it's mixed with false god. So what was happening here with Balaam? Well, Balak hired Balaam, and he wanted him to really prophesy against Israel, and Balaam couldn't do it. So in order to loosen Israel's authority or to hurt Israel, he decided, hey, let's get them into fornication. Let's get them committing sexual sins. And because they were committing sexual sins with a group of people that went after other gods, we already know what happens. This is why the Bible specifically says, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers, because we know Solomon had the same problem. As he began to sleep with the Egyptian women, the Egyptian women's gods became his god. Why? Because the Bible says the two become one flesh. So when you're sexually active with a person that is in the world and you're a Christian, then you begin to mix the gods through the consummation of sex, because the two become one flesh. And this is what began to happen with Balaam, and they began to sleep with the Midianite women, and those women went after false gods. And because of that mixture, the gods of the Midianite women began to become the gods of the Israelite men, and you had the mixture of gods. And so this is what was so dangerous about this, and this is why God said that the stumbling block of Israel was that they began to go after these false god idols, and they begin to commit fornication. And, you know, we see it evident even in this strange ordeal on Nightline. You had Carlton Pearson on there. I used to wonder, even some 15 years ago, he would be singing and doing his thing while he was speaking. And he never came across to me. One, he never came across as a straight man. And then he never came across as a man that believed the true doctrine of Jesus Christ. He always discredited what we knew, what we grew up on. He would always say stuff like, see this particular scripture in the Greek and the Hebrew, it means this and this and this. And you thought it meant this. See, this shows you how you don't know what you mean. And it seemed like he began to try to discredit what people knew to make them uncomfortable with their own belief. And that is just a setup so that he can indoctrinate you with the false doctrine of inclusion. Inclusion, I'm going to tell you, preachers that preach the gospel of inclusion are usually homosexual, because the inclusion doctrine allows for the homosexual to be saved in the end. And so you got to understand, they want to do away with hell. They want to do away with all punishment of the scripture so that they gay selves can't be thrown in hell. And that is why these men are preaching this doctrine, so that they can make allowances for their homosexual behavior. The church at Pergamos, it's the same thing. When false god worship, idolatry, and fornication come into the picture, the doctrine of Jesus Christ begins to change. Why? Because Jesus spoke specifically of a hell, and he spoke specifically of punishment for sin after death. He spoke of a hell. He spoke of the devil and his angels, hell being created for them. He spoke of this. There are many scriptures to back this up, and I'll give them to you in just a second. But when fornication and false god worship come into the picture, those things have to be done away with. In other words, we have to do away with punishment so we can live the lifestyle that we choose to live. It's the same thing I preached about last week when I talked about eternal security and people saying, I'm eternally secure, once saved, always saved. I told you that is the doctrine of the slave owners that used to own slaves, and they wanted to make a loophole that they could jump through because they were treating people in an inhumane fashion. They were treating men like dogs and referring to black men like dogs and animals. And so, but then they would stand up Sunday and profess their Christianity, say, I'm saved, I believe in Jesus, I love Jesus, we're all good Christian. You hear Ku Klux Klan? I mean, they have sheets on their head and a shotgun in their hand and saying, we're all good Christians here, so let me kill these niggers, you know? And they're saying this stuff, and they really believe that they are Christians because they believe in eternal security, once saved, always saved. See, that's what I'm saying. You can't just get up and blanket preach once saved, always saved when the scripture does not back that up, because you make allowances for other people that even are against you. And most black preachers aren't going to get up and say, I believe a Ku Klux Klan member is saved. You mean we're going to the same heaven? That's the same thing Carlton Pearson is preaching here with the doctrine of inclusion. You have to understand this. As men get more and more wicked. The doctrine has to change. Their doctrine, their belief system cannot be strict. It has to be inclusive. They have to become seeker friendly. They have to make allowances for the people. I've been talking about this with the Laodiceans. Now we have the church at Pergamos with the same problem here. Because Balak got Balaam to cast this stumbling block before the children of Israel, and the children of Israel began to have strange sex with the Midianite women and bring false gods in, because this specific trespass that they were committing brought the pagan gods of these women in, then it brought about the changing of the true doctrine of Jesus. And this is where we are right now. As I begin to watch this thing on Nightline, and I watch Carlton Pearson, who, by the way, if you didn't know, he's ordained. He's an ordained bishop under a lesbian bishop. A lesbian bishop ordained him. This woman who used to sing with Walter Hawkins, and I think she led the song, "Thank You, Lord, for All You've Done for Me." She pastors a lesbian homosexual church in the Bay Area, and she actually ordained Carlton Pearson. So tell me that. What straight man wants to be ordained by a lesbian? I mean, come on, folks. I mean, can we just call this what it is? Aren't we tired of this? I mean, Carlton Pearson is responsible for not only introducing the church, because the inclusion doctrine is very, very old. I'm telling you about it right here, way back in 500 AD, back in the Pergamos era of the church. But it's a very old doctrine, but it always rises in a time of wickedness and immorality, when people want to merge the idea of being wicked with Christianity and being in Christ. You know, they asked Carlton Pearson not too long ago, and I don't know why they keep bringing him and asking him questions and what makes him a scholar on everything. He doesn't have a church anymore. He doesn't have any members. His following, other than a few gospel artists, is very, very small, but they still want him to be the resident expert because he's preaching what the homosexuals want to hear. So he's a poster boy for gaydom, and they always calling him. But they ask him about gospel music, and they said, you know, Carlton Pearson, how do you feel about God and homosexuality? How do you think God feels about homosexuals? And Carlton said, oh, God loves homosexuals. And these homosexuals have created all the songs for the church. And they, I mean, we've sung their songs. We've sung their songs, and we've praised God to their music. And how are we going to deny them heaven? And how are we going to deny them eternal security? And we're up singing their songs, and their songs is what. And I'm like, come on, folks. Y'all act like singing a song is preaching a sermon. I mean, I picked up the Jet magazine, and they had Kurt Franklin on the front, and he's telling folks, in these hard and tough times, you need to go out and buy his CD. We need gospel music. Gospel music will get you through these hard times. And that's not what people need right now. People need the truth of the word. They need to know what the Bible is saying. They don't need no songs with somebody on stage gyrating and painted on pants, dancing and shaking his behind. They don't need that. People don't need you pop locking and bumping and grinding with the mic stand. That's why people aren't even paying money to go to these concerts anymore. They're not even giving gospel artists, a lot of them, their time and attention anymore, because they have proven that the show is about them. And right now, we don't need a show. We need a word from the Lord. Music is not fixing this. And so for Carlton Pearson to try to give homosexuals a pass into heaven because they wrote good songs, I'm telling you, this is the doctrine of Balaam, because men have become sexually wicked and infused with false god worship. They are bringing the gods of those that they are in violation with into the church. So the god of homosexuals is the god of inclusion. And that is why these men are pushing this doctrine. This is why ABC aired it. Y'all, we need to pray for America. I'm telling you, this is a pivotal time in American history, because they are denouncing that there is a devil or a hell on national TV, and they set up the church for failure by not even including a true Christian theologian that could argue this case. It was so sad to see. They bought Deepak Chopra, I think that's his name, and he's on there, and you know, he's all effeminate, and then here comes Carlton picking him up. Are you ready? Yes, I'm ready. And then they get up there and say there is no devil to make way for that homosexual lifestyle. That's all this is about. I'm telling you, homosexuality, the mark of the beast, the Antichrist, the Pope, all this stuff goes hand in hand together. I don't have time to deal with it all, but Daniel 11:37 saying the Antichrist will not have a desire of a woman. All this stuff is hand in hand. The doctrine of Balaam going after false gods and having strange sex is going to always change the doctrine. It's going to change the doctrine of truth. It's going to change the doctrine of hell and the grave, so it can make way for the immorality that people want to continue, even in the church. When is the last time you heard a message about hell in your church? When is the last time you heard a message even about punishment for sin and folks trying to encourage you to live right? No, instead of that, we get Mickey Mouse messages about what? Money and prosperity and making it in this time and money and, oh, sing the songs of gospel and it's going to make you feel better and you're going to feel this and feel that, and it's all about feeling. It's about flesh. It's about emotion, but nobody wants to deal with the consequences of sin. Let me give you some scriptures before we close this broadcast out, because I want you to know what the Bible specifically says about hell. There are several scriptures that the Bible refers to the end punishment for those that do not believe. Matthew 25:41, Jesus was speaking of the final judgment. He said, depart from me. When he passes judgment, he's going to say, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. This tells us that hell was not prepared for humans, but because man chooses his own way, he chooses to deny Jesus Christ as the way to get to God. He chooses to go his own way. Because of that, the end punishment is the same as the devil and those angels that chose to go their own way. They have a place for you. See, God has prepared a place for those that choose to go his way, and God has reserved a place for those that choose to go their own way. And you go be with those that want to go their own way. Revelation 14:11. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night. All this stuff is literal that I'm reading to you. Revelation 20:12, it says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Luke 12:5. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yes, I say unto you, fear him. Matthew 18:8-9. Wherefore, if thy hand or foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed rather than having two hands or feet and be cast into everlasting fire. If thy eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than have two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Matthew 25:46. These shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. 2 Thessalonians 1:9. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. I'm trying to tell you, people of God, the Bible speaks specifically about the punishment of sin and hell, the end of this thing. You cannot, I hate Carlton Pearson has waited until he's almost 60 years old to begin preaching a false God doctrine to defend a lifestyle he's been practicing. I'm telling you, it is tragic that the church has given him a platform and given him a voice. It's tragic that gospel radio stations are still playing and his music and nobody is holding him accountable for what he is preaching. You go to his MySpace
MySpace page and you see gospel artists like Martha Menizzi and Ted from Ted and Sherry and GB5 and all these other groups on his MySpace page as friends linked to this man that is promoting one of the most heinous, foul doctrines of our time. This is the church at Pergamos coming forth right now in this era. This is false God doctrine because they want to commit fornication and serve strange gods. Carlton Pearson admitted that the Bible is error field, that there are many errors and you just have to take the parts you want in the Bible because there are so many manuscripts, a lot of the truth in it was lost in translation. He confessed that on this show, and I'm telling you, people are watching it, and America is on its way to hell as a whole, as a nation, because they are denying the truth of Jesus Christ. Why am I talking about the devil? Why am I talking about hell? Because Jesus Christ died for our sins. He died so you don't have to go to hell. He died so that there does not have to be eternal punishment. He died to make a way for you. All you have to do is believe. Believe. But you can't deny that there is a devil, because then you make the gospel a lie. The gospel of Jesus is not a lie. It is a truth, an everlasting truth. And it is saying that unless you confess that Jesus is your Lord, welcome him into your heart and make him your Lord. Unless you do that, you will not escape hellfire. Let me pray for you right now. Father God, I pray right now. God, I believe that this broadcast is of you. Lord, we don't want to be like the church at Pergamos, God. We don't want to go after false doctrine and begin to eat the things or take in the things of idols and the ideas of idols. And we don't want to commit fornications and begin to merge and become one with those that worship false gods. God, we know that you are the true and living God and the only God we serve, and you're the only God that can save us from eternal punishment and hell. God, we know hell is real and it's for somebody. We know the devil is real and he's out to steal, kill, and destroy. He's out to get us. But God, we believe that because your son Jesus died, we can escape the fires of hell. We can escape eternal punishment. We can escape what the enemy has, and we can choose what you have. And we thank you, Lord, because it's going to take the blood of Jesus to save us, and we must confess it. And we know you said in the scripture that there are going to be many that say, Lord, Lord, and they're not going to enter in. You're going to say, I never knew you. God, we don't want to be one of those, but we want you to know us, and we want you in our hearts. We want to serve you, God. So I pray right now, every listener, Father God, whose heart is not right with you, Lord, let them get their hearts right. And every sinner that is listening that has not confessed Jesus as their Lord and has gotten forgiveness for their sins, I pray right now, God, that they would come to know you like I know you and like many of these listeners know you, and know that the devil is not a figment of our imagination, and that hell is real, and that you are real, and every word in your scriptures is real. And unless we believe it all, we don't believe any of it. In Jesus' name. We'll be back with another True Church Perspective next week. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us for A True Church Perspective with Pastor G. Craig Lewis. Join us here each Sunday at 9:30 a.m. You can also visit us online at true-church.org.